From the front lines.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Out Fool's Gold episode on audio archives of BleedBlueShow.com, as well as iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, your Stitcher apps. If you're a New York football Giants fan, you can also check out the most recent episode discussing the offensive line, and the week prior to that discussing the defensive line. And of course, if you are into the NBA, check out our previous episodes talking the NBA Finals exclusively on the Bleed Blue Show. Be on the lookout for the Knickerbocker Ad Fan Forum coming out this summer. And on top of that, we also have some NBA discussion league-wide as well. So be on the lookout for those upcoming episodes all summer long right here on the Bleed Blue Show. And this is the Ring Podcast. I'm going to talk a little bit of New York Rangers hockey, some off-season stuff going on right now. And now that the Stanley Cup is over and I know I hate to say it, but those pesky, I guess you could say, once again, Stanley Cup champion, the Pittsburgh Penguins, once again hoist the lower Stanley Cup's trophy. And it sucks because, you know, a lot of Rangers fans, including myself, can't stand the Pittsburgh Penguins. But they were the hottest team going into the playoffs. It doesn't really surprise me. They finished off the Rangers in five, and we'll get to that in a little bit. On how did the Rangers recover from that, but they went on to march on past Washington and getting past the Tampa Bay Lightning and getting past the San Jose Sharks in six. So I think that's a hell of a run, being a President Trophy recipient, a former Eastern Conference finalist, well, champion really in the Tampa Bay Lightning and in the finals as well. So I thought that was a hell of a run by the Penguins. Congrats to them getting another cup. But we are here to discuss or here to dialogue on the Rangers and some news going on. And I wanted to kind of sort of light recap, because all summer long with the Rangers here on the Ring, we're going to go dissect with player by player, line by line, as far as how can we improve, how can the players do better or have a better outcome in 2016 and 17 season. Because the thing with this team is they're not too far away, and they are right on the doorstep of just, they need to tighten up on some areas while the window is slightly still open. I mean, this is a carryover from the Tortorella era when they were more defensive-minded. When Lane Vigneault came onto the squad, they became a little bit more offensive-minded. So you have one extreme of defense, one more of a extreme of offense, but they got to find somewhere more so in the middle to go against competitive teams in the Eastern Conference, because the Eastern Conference has gotten better over the last couple of seasons, especially the Metropolitan Division, where teams could go from last place into the playoffs no problem. I mean, we could go from last year or two seasons ago when the Rangers were the President's Trophy recipient, and then you could go to the Capitals, who were the best team in the regular season. As you can see, that doesn't really mean anything, because it's really about who plays the hottest, i.e. the Stanley Cup champion, the Pittsburgh Penguins. In the division, you got Pittsburgh, Washington, the Rangers, Philadelphia, who made the playoffs, coming back after a bad season, the Islanders, who made the playoffs and got past the first round versus the Florida Panthers, And then you also have New Jersey, who actually had a little bit of success versus the Rangers. So this is really a tight-knit division. And if the Rangers, they're going to have to do some a little bit of retooling as far as shoring up some positions, shoring up some areas on the ice to maybe sustain through a regular season. Because I don't think it's necessarily about being the best team in hockey. Although you want to play the hottest, you want to be consistent, get some wins, but you have to really go into the playoffs on a hot streak. And I don't think the Rangers were that. They were too up and down last season. They had solid wins versus a lot of good competition. The Rangers were a very good team. It's just that they weren't playing. They never really peaked like the way they did two seasons ago, and they're going to have to try to fix that. They definitely going to have to get on the ball with that. But when we're talking about a team where, you know, Matt Zuccarello led the team in points, and the captain, Ryan McDonough, who's tops and plus minus on the ice, and of course, and then you have Derek Stepan coming off the arbitration last summer, getting in as far as getting off the injuries. They're not offensively. The Rangers are good. They're a top 10 team offensively as far as goals a game last season. They don't strike the opponents with that lethal goal scorer like they did two seasons ago when Rick Nash was third in goal scoring with 42 two seasons ago. He definitely cooled off, and that's probably in an area a dominant scoring that we could definitely use. We really missed that going into the playoffs versus Pittsburgh. We needed goals, and we needed big goals. It was a thin, and then when we definitely needed stops, a defenseman led us out, and I'll get to that in a second. But to the point with the Rangers, they definitely were goals. They were efficient because they didn't need a lot of shots to get a lot of goals. They kept them under 30 shots a game or something like that. They were middle of the pack with the power play. That's not really going to make me upset or anything like that. They have actually somewhat improved, and they had a little bit of a hot streak. They had some success with the power play after the All-Star break, so I definitely give them that. And then they really weren't a penalty-strong team where they weren't always caught in the penalty box with stupid penalties, interferences, holding, stuff like that. So the Rangers were a little bit of a defensive-minded team. They were disciplined to the most part. So, but also defensively, they were middle of the pack as well as far as goals against. I like to see that improve to be in better standing as far as not giving up as many goals. And in that scenario, I think we could definitely improve because we were really bad in the playoffs with that. Absolutely. Lundqvist had some terrible games, and that game five was just a and Pittsburgh was a doozy. So the Rangers penalty kill, I'm trying to remember a little bit where they could be better against the power play, against top special team units against the opposing teams. We'll see how that goes. And as far as if they're going to find a way, special teams to be more efficient, killing off the power plays from the other team. The Rangers have to improve somewhat on that penalty. I have to say that. But going into next season, we're going to have the schedule release. And I know I'm actually a little surprised that it even came out so fast. So they couldn't wait. But guys coming back. Now, I don't know how they're going to handle the Rick Nash thing. I think they may try, or they'll try to find a way to maybe deal him if they could. Do they think that he's worth the $8 million going into next season? I think he has a no trade clause on his contract. If you have that cap hit a little bit under his salary of $7.8 million. See, I don't know how you want to deal with Nash. It was a little bit of a fluke. He had that injury status going into the All-Star break, and it took him a while to get back. He never really did get going. Now, you know, they shuffled him on the lines. I did not like that. I said that on prior podcasts on the rink. He just seemed out of sync offensively. Defensively, he does his job to a degree. He scraps, he fights off with the stick, and he can get a little physical if he needs his big body. I'm cool with Nash defensively. I'm going to see how the Rangers are going to handle this when it going forward, knowing that his salary due, and I know that they're going to try to get a little bit of cap space as well with that $8 million, and I don't know how they're going to do that. Lundqvist, he's not going anywhere. Now, he's almost 35 years old, and he should take a pay cut. I know that may not – a lot of Rangers fans may not like that. But of his poor performance in the playoffs, and some of it not his fault, some of it, a lot of it was the defenseman, but like I said before, he's kind of regressed, man. He's so the greatness of what he is, he hasn't really showed any signs of regression. If there was any time of such, it was this playoff run. He looked bad at times. And I mean, it was so bad. I mean, there was some Ranger trolls were screaming for Cam Talbot to come back from Edmonton. But, you know, Lundqvist is going to be at 35 by the end of next year. And he still has a little bit left in the tank. He's not a top goalie, in my opinion, the way he played last year. But the Rangers are going to stick by him. They're loyal. He's great with the fan base. He's great with the fans. He's a legend. Prima is almost cult-like in the net for the Rangers. So we're going to see how he stays back. Now, as far as the other guys that's still on the team, how we're going to deal with this, Stepan's getting a lot of money too. And he could be effective. And he won that arbitration last summer. Some games he showed a little bit of the magic that had him get that arbitration money. But I don't think he's worth the contract that he's getting, but he's effective when healthy. He makes big shots. He makes go-ahead shots as far as goal shots. So Stepan's a very good, effective player at a center position, and he's still young, and in his mid-20s, in the prime of his career. I would like to see him definitely build off of what was 2015-16 season and go from where it is right now. But the issue I do have is with the defenseman. Let me say this real quick before I get to the other guys. I know Matt Zuccarello, he's fine at his right wing position. Other guys, you know, question marks of who stays and goes, like Chris Kreider, Brassard. Other guys like that is cool, but the defensemen between Mark Stahl, Dan Girardi, Kevin Klein, and Brandy Shea. Now that's the thing. That's part of the reason why I think they're really trying to fight to keep Keith Yandel, knowing that they got the young defenseman waiting in the wings and at a bargain price, and he's young and he showed skills and capabilities of playing in this league. So it's really easy to say, let's say bye-bye to Keith Yandel, although I'm a little bit disgusted somewhat, not because of Keith Yandel's play, but what we gave up a couple of seasons ago to get him in that trade to Arizona, giving up those draft picks and Anthony Duclair. I really like the game. But before we the guys on the contract, like the guys I definitely just mentioned, those are going to be your core guys as far as going into next season. It's what you build around them, and I really believe it's got to be on the defensive side to really account and help Lundqvist back there, because he's not the same Lundqvist. Because I think the Rangers got definitely exposed. We're giving up terrible goals, giving up bad goals. And I think back in the prime of his career, Lundqvist made spectacular, outstanding saves. That kind of shielded or guarded against the defensive pairings, whether it was Klein and Stahl and Girardi and McDonough. But the defensemen has not done their job towards the end of last year. And the goalie, who skill-wise, has not been spectacular what he once was. Been a little bit banged up, you know, so we'll see how that goes as far as what Gorton's going to do to, I believe, read to. I don't think this is a rebuilding project. The Rangers have shown year in, year out for about 8-9 seasons now. They can make the playoffs. They've made one Stanley Cup final, a couple of Eastern Conference finals. But defensively, I think is the target for this team. Right behind that, I say a second tier scorer who could probably put up a lot of points, necessarily a lot of goals. But the Rangers have a lot of guys that definitely give you balance. Whether it's Brassard, Zuccarello, Stepan, Kreider, they had JT Miller at times. They had a bunch of guys who can score the goal, got you 20 plus goals, but they don't have a killer. They don't have the killer. And then if you're not going to get the killer, you got to find a way to account for it elsewhere, not give up goals. And I think that's where they could get a little physical, an enforcer back there. I'm not exactly sure if there's trades out there for them to take to make that happen. But there's ways to retool this thing. And I think that's what it is for the Rangers. And now they got the draft in a week or so. And they have all the picks they had to shelf out, and they're trying to acquire more picks. We'll see how that goes. Now let's go back to Keith Yandel. Now what happened with him? Now that he's his negotiating rights is now with the Florida Panthers. Rangers traded that thing away for pretty much a 6th round pick in that draft next week. Now I think and this is the Rangers, and I'm talking about the management, and I think a lot of Rangers fans feel the same way, where they feel that they had no problem getting rid of him. There was a lack of action behind the Rangers. They weren't really trying to negotiate new terms and deal with the free agency period on July 1st. But Keith Yandel is a guy who's been around since, 04 or whatever, with the Arizona Coyotes. And he's a guy that when they brought him over or they got him from the trade, his ability to, from the defensive point, make good plays with the power play, they use him at the point, which it did improve a little bit. But it comes at a cost because with him running point at the power play defensively, he's a gambler, man. The pros with this guy, I mean, he's the guy who could set it up. He could set up guys and make the right pass. He has good awareness, spacing, anticipation. He's definitely decent with that. I give him that. But he can be highly risky. He could be very careless with the turnovers with the puck, or sometimes with the puck, if the puck comes back to him and the puck is not onside, they have to reset. You lose about 10, 15 seconds off the power play, maybe even more, to get back into their offense to try to score. But he killed them in the Pittsburgh series. I think it was Brandon Rust for the Penguins that capitalized off his turnover that really – I think crippled his Rangers career. And I think the Rangers management kept that in the back of their minds, as well as the fans, that what happened in Pittsburgh in that series. I think how do you go from there as far as his production? How do you make up for that production? I mean, he's not, I would say, totally washed up. His salary is very affordable at under $3 million or something like that. And then if you really look at what he brings to the table, he's a top 10 defensive scorer as far as getting a lot of points. He could definitely deliver on that. I give him credit on that. Maybe New York is probably too big of a stage. Maybe you could flourish in an area like Florida, down in South Florida. They don't go to a lot of the games. Or in Arizona when it's kind of more laid back and can kind of do your thing. I know he grew up in the Boston area, so I know he's probably used to tough environments. His lefty shot, setting up a lot of points. I mean, he gets you some decent numbers, though. He had like 40-plus assists last year. So he's the guy, and he plays every game. So he's definitely durable. He could be serviceable, definitely, in a team like Florida, who showed a little bit of a success last year in the Atlantic Division. So the Rangers trying to get some assets in the return of draft picks for the draft. And we'll see how that turns out with Keith Yandel going to Florida for his negotiating rights. We'll see how that develops. Absolutely with that. I also wanted to discuss with the Rangers. I'm looking at it in the division, and this is probably something I want to discuss a little bit further in the summer, in this off season here on the podcast, the Rink episode, where it's possible if you don't really retool this thing like it could or it should, you could mess around and be in last place in this division. I don't think it will happen, but it's not to say they couldn't. I mean, the Islanders are a team that has given the Rangers a lot of issues the last couple of seasons in the regular season, whether it was at Barclays or at the Garden. Philadelphia has played the Rangers tough last year, the last season especially, and they showed that they could make a playoff run. The Devils had the Rangers number, whether it was Lee Stepniak was on that team scoring a lot of goals. It seemed like every time they played or whatever. And then, of course, Pittsburgh won 3 out of 4 versus them last year. And Washington definitely had the Rangers number last year. This is a real turning point for this franchise. I know Gordon's got a full summer to really work this thing once again, and how he's going to shuffle things up. I believe it should be defensively, and then really work the second tier with the wings or the forwards. I think if he goes that route, and I don't know if they're going to make a major splash in the trade, some sort of blockbuster to really shape or shuffle these things up. I'm going to see how that goes, man. I want to see how that goes. Now, let me get to the other defenseman, too, that really the Rangers fans, and rightfully so, and I agree with them, with Dan Girardi. The time is passed defensively as position, and I know Mark Stahl getting paid all that money and not producing. It's just non-existent. And you're talking about guys between the two. You're getting $10 million out of $10 million on two guys playing the defensive position. And one's approaching 30, one is over 32. It's time to really get younger at that and more production at that position. They have the experience, but the experience is really not playing off, man. And then the game, just really sloppy play, man, and miscommunication, not on their assignment. I think we should really look forward to moving on. I really do. They just can't get the job done, man. I really can't. I really don't see that. They're at their peak. I mean, when it's I like to see McDonough with Girardi. I mean, they've showed a little bit of success when they pair up or whatever. Now with Stahl and Klein. They just haven't got the job done, man. There's no way around it. I just don't think they could get the job done. And then, of course, last year, and we add on Dan Boyle, who's about 38 years old or something like that. He's been around for a long time. You pretty much move on from him if you can, you know. They got some holes, man, right there in that defensive pairings, man. They really do. They got to fix that thing. They definitely do. And then it's just other things with the Rangers, and then I want to get around to some little bit of NHL. Got to keep the cap space open. A lot of money out there to be had as far as if they're going to fill in some positions. And then I think they're going to do a wait by trial as well during the season. So what I'm saying is if they're doing okay, they're in the playoff hunt, they might make a small splash, maybe get close to that cap number to make a strong run. Fours, but there's most guys on this team for the most part. They're expensive. They could be gone, you know. But there's other guys you just got to work around. I mean, the only guy I could think of, top of my head, Rick Nash. He has that no trade. He can't get rid of that. We'll see how that goes. Now, what about the young guys on the team? I bring up Oscar Lindbergh, who had a hot start to this early on in the season. He definitely cooled off. Maybe he could build off it at the experience. When Lundqvist is taking his rest and Ranta is and filling in at the net for him, we'll see how that goes. Jesper Fast, who's a young guy too, he played some good hockey. I remember a few games where I think the Boston game at the Garden when he was playing the Bruins. He had an excellent game defensively. I like to see him build upon his game and see if they could improve, be more effective as well. What they did with JT Miller, now how they're going to do, whether he comes back or if he moves on JT Miller, who actually had a stretch with the Rangers, was absolutely phenomenal, where the Rangers couldn't buy scoring from anybody else on the team. He stepped in and did a great job, so shout-outs to JT Miller. But, I mean, like I said, the core guys, Brassard, Stepan, Zuccarello, and then Nash, I mean, that's pretty much what you're going to have to roll with. And I'm not exactly sure if that's enough with a lot of these surging teams, like, within our own division. I mean, the playoff
spots was real limited. A lot of good teams fighting for the last couple of playoff spots and that wild card stuff. I really hate that system the NHL does, but they really was fighting off, man. They really were. Now, I know they, you know, and we didn't really discuss it, and I know the Rangers were bringing Buchnevich from over, but they signed him all right there with that 3-year deal. We'll see how he fits in as well. Yeah, I know they're going to play a little bit of shuffling as well. Probably coming from Hartford, whatever. And then Randy Shea, I think, is going to see a lot of ice time as well. I think he could be fine. And then and I know Raph Diaz, he showed up a little bit in the Pittsburgh series and actually had a goal. I could believe when it, but this was when the Rangers were already down and already out. I know they're probably going to go in that direction as well. I don't see why not. So that's the Rangers. Now, I would definitely dig deeper, a little bit more in this offseason when we discuss player by player and the strong, you know, the strengths and weaknesses as well. But I also wanted to get into the NHL. They came out with the schedule release, and it's like, I mean, they couldn't really wait. I mean, 1 week since the conclusion of the Stanley Cup Finals, they already dropped the schedule. Now, I think the NHL, if they really want to gain a little bit more popularity, specifically with the four major sports, they're going to have to try to, this is up to them now, if they want to continue to be the fourth sport of all the major sports, by all means, they're going to have to find a way to really market these events. When I say events, like schedule releases, like NFL makes it an event with the schedule release, or the NBA. They gotta really market this thing, internationally. Canada, United States, Finland, Sweden, Switzerland. I mean, make it real international to really push this schedule release. Like make it a big deal. I don't think the NHL goes out of their way enough to market any of the stuff or any of their players or any of their brand to the casual fan. I really don't. And I think that's what really hurt them. And I think this really is a carryover like almost 20 years ago with when they had that contract with the games on ESPN. I mean, ever since then, when they were kind of hovering around being like maybe tampering with the third sport, they kind of fell off. They don't have no fantasy wise. I mean, we're talking about fantasy sports as well. I mean, they don't market nothing like the schedule release, fantasy sports, the players front and center, other teams, marquees. I mean, you know, some of the big names like Crosby, Ovechkin, guys like that. But I mean, this league has a lot of good players, very good stars. You go to Patrick Kane, Jonathan Toews, Chicago Blackhawks, even the Tampa Bay Lightning, you bring on Killorn and Steven Stamkos. They have guys in this league that could play. Jamie Benn in Dallas, like a lot of these guys. I just don't think the NHL markets these guys like that. And I think that's something they may want to address, and especially with the draft next week. I mean, the two major sports, Major League, not Major League Baseball, because that's another sport that's going to have to revamp their draft if they want to really get back into the popularity thing. The NBA and the NFL really go out of their way to make the draft a big night, or the NFL's case, in a weekend event. I mean, people stop what they're doing and going to circle around the television and do mock drafts all for about 2 months. And you don't see that with the NHL. I do not know why. And that's an area I think they could definitely improve in. That's really going to land casual fans, especially in the New York market. We've got three teams with the Devils, Islanders, and Rangers. So you have opportunity to really grow this product, and they don't really do that at all, especially making that draft pop off like the way it can. I think the draft being in Buffalo as well this year, so you sell it to that small market, it could really do some, get people involved. And I don't think a lot of people really pay attention like they could or should, man. They really don't. I mean, we're going to discuss a lot of the Rangers here on the rink, and then find ways to improve, because the Rangers, it's another year, it's like 2-3 seasons removed oh, actually, three seasons removed from the Stanley Cup Finals. It's like they're going backwards. They're regressing. Like, went from Stanley Cup Finals to the Eastern Conference Finals. Now can't get out of the first round. And they ran into a buzzsaw in the Stanley Cup champions. And I'm really highly concerned because this could get because if we don't figure out something or even win, it's really cup or bust with this team, I really believe. Maybe a lot of experts may not say that or see this, but with a competitive division, and I know we have a lot of success versus teams out west, I'm not really concerned about overall competition, but you run into the wrong team like we did, and with lethal goal scorers and guys who are going to hustle and make plays, and they did it definitely with multiple goalies, man. We got to find a way to get out of our away, man. We have to. And these guys are getting older, man, and we have to really retool defensively of what we do. We have to get physical and get fresher and be more alert, especially at the positions, like I said. So that be the conclusion of the Rink Podcast, exclusively here on the Bleed Blue Show. You can check out BleedBlueShow.com, Twitter, Instagram, Google+, at the Bleed Blue Show, and of course, iTunes Podcast for public tuning and your Stitcher apps to download so you don't incur those data charges. And check out BleedBlueShow.com/schedule, upcoming episodes for the platform where we discuss anything KGYR, Knicks, Giants, Yankee, Rangers, of course, full-fledged on the Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, as well as the National Hockey League. Other than that, Bleed Blue.